Now, we've come to this part of the service where we want to hear from Andrew, and we'll have our offering after Andrew speaks. And Andrew and Stephen, both the Cuthbert lads, are going to come now because Stephen will be praying for Andrew immediately after Andrew's finished. So I'm going to ask both the fellas to come now, and you can decide which one's the best looking. I'll leave it up to you. I think Stephen, being the married lad, he's, Heather, you must be looking after him well. He's looking real good. But we'll have... It's a real blessing. And in case you think that I'm going to have anything less to do in this church, that's not the case. We intend to become more involved, get more things up and running, and become more of a proactive church within the community, and also to seek to reach out in various and different ways and means to the community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's not as if we're trying to lighten the load in any respect, but rather we're trying to become a full-orbed church reaching out to the community in every way that we possibly can with the message of God that Jesus saves. And right at the very beginning when I landed here, a young man came to me after one of the first services that I spoke at, and he said, "I'd like to help you in your visitation." He had no job at that time. It was Andrew, by the way. The fellow with his wry smile. Don't be misled by that smile. He's probably terrified inside. But on one of the first or second Sunday, he said, I'd like to help come with you visiting around the church and around the folks of the church. And I was really glad of his help because he brought me to areas that I had no idea where to find or how to find them, and to bring me to homes and houses that were strange to me. And we had so many chats. And then after the first week, he says, "I've got myself a job." I says, "Lord, I was glad to have him with me." And I was a wee bit disappointed that he got a job. Glad for him, but disappointed for me. I suppose it was being selfish. But nevertheless, God's a wonderful way of leading, hasn't he? I saw something into his heart that he has a desire for people. He has a love for people, and he has a love for his Lord. And it's a great privilege and a blessing to have a young man like that who wants to help us and become involved in the staff here in the church. So I'm, no further ado, I'm going to hand you over to Andrew, and then Stephen, if you ask the folk to stand and pray whenever you're praying, that would be good. We'll ask Andrew first, and I said I'll give him as long as he likes, and we'll see how he goes with that. All right.
Evening, folks. I just wanted to start by saying just how excited and thankful I was just to yourselves and to God, just that this opportunity has really opened up. Exactly this time a year ago, I was standing up here telling you that I was about to head off to New Tribes Mission Bible College, not really knowing what the step after that was, which I'm just thankful that God does lead step by step. And just over the course of the year, I've always had the burden just to really be as involved as I can in this church. And just over the course of the year, God really led, and just through yourselves has really opened a door now to be a bit more involved in the church. So I just wanted to say thank you for that, and just to kind of show a bit of my excitement as well. I've really been looking forward to getting started in the church and to working alongside you, and just that we would, together, that we would see the name of Jesus just shine brighter in our community and shine in our lives, and just that all glory would be going to him. So I just was going to take a few minutes just to share with you a little bit about what I'll be doing. So most of you will know how I've kind of come to this point. If you don't, you could now be in the tea and coffee afterwards, and I'll run you past it the last 26 years. But it just has been something that has been in my heart, especially in the last year and a half or 2 years. I really didn't know what direction God would take me, but just so excited just that this has opened up. So just to give you a rough idea then of the day-to-day, the title is Outreach Coordinator and Assistant. It can probably cover a wide range of stuff. amens remind me. Some of you will have been involved just in the outreach in July. The first thing I'm going to be getting involved with just is really trying to connect again with, we had so many good conversations that week with people in Rathcoole Estate. The first thing I just really want to get involved with is just to try to get back on those doorsteps. And not just that we would be a church that 1 week in a year shows an interest in people's lives, but that all of us would be in everyday life just burdened and interested in just caring for those family members and for those neighbors and for those work colleagues around us who have never had that life-changing experience of meeting Jesus that most of us have had. And just to be used by God in whatever way in this next period here, just to help in the church. I have some different ideas of different things that just maybe we can try out. And I'm willing to fail at some things because I do just think that if we truly believe that those without Christ go to a lost eternity, that they suffer in hell because they rejected Christ, if that truth is really written into our hearts, I think it really impacts every minute of how we live and our decisions and the relationships that we focus on in life. And just with that own burden on my heart in the last year, I just really want to come and get amongst you and just to really live for Christ in every day as individuals in the church and mainly as a body in the church. So the July outreach was so challenging, and again it's those kind of events and things that will be part of the role as well. We'll be looking at putting just different events on throughout the year in the church, trying to just hit as many different kinds of people as we can who we can get them in through the church doors or into the halls and just show what Christ means to us and what Christ can mean to them and what they mean to Christ. So we'll be organizing different events. It'll be looking forward to next summer as well, where we can have the opportunity to perhaps be doing something similar to what we did this past summer. Maybe it can be to a team down the south of Ireland. Maybe it can be a team further afield. There's a lot of opportunities just, and with a bit of time, I can really look at what opportunities the Lord would open up to us as a church to pursue. But definitely, it is a challenge for us here. And I am so excited, but again, I'm thankful that God leads us day by day as well. So I'm trusting in Him that there'll be plenty of opportunities for me to be discipling new believers. I want to be expectant that God can really use us as a church and be moving the community around us. And hearts can be challenged and hearts can be won for Christ. So I would hope that a big part of my job would be discipling people every week who have seen Jesus for who He really is and have accepted them into their hearts and want to live their lives for Him. So that'll be another aspect of the role then. There will also, because it has the word assistant at the end, there will be different things every week. I think I'll be involved in a little bit of visitation and every now and again maybe a bit of preaching. The role is part-time as well. I've been accepted to study in Cornhill College in Belfast part-time for the next 2 years. So that's 2 days a week during term time for the next 2 years. So I do have other commitments, but that really is quite a practical college where it continues to really delve into the Word of God, but also really seeks to equip you for not only just kind of communicating God's truths, but also just in different aspects of church work. So for the first year, Monday and Tuesday, I'm in Cornhill in Belfast. And then in the rest of the week, I'll just be as flexible as I can to fit these things in then. So again, I just wanted to thank you, and I just wanted to just trust the Lord that He's led me this far. I don't want to come in thinking I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, because the Lord has His plans. And I just want to be humble and day by day to seek His will in my life and to take opportunities and to be out on doors in the community as well. There's so many needy people around us who are broken and who have possibly never once heard of what happened on the cross and what that truly can mean to their life today and what impact that can have on their future. So I'm really looking forward as well just to really knocking some doors in the community as well and trying to just reconnect again with the community and to be organizing just things in the church for you to be bringing your neighbors to and your friends and your family, just things that can be different tasters that maybe you're not that confident with speaking to people, but perhaps just we can, if you speak to me and just if you have ideas of your own, just that we can do everything that we can to shine Christ into the community and into those people whose lives we have an impact on. So I just wanted to give you a bit of that idea what would be going on. It may be completely different than what I think. We'll find out. But again, just wanted to thank you and just praise God for how He has led in my life, how He has burdened, He has led me step by step. And I trust now that as He opens up this door for me, that He is before me, that He is the one whose strength I will rely on. He is the one who will equip me. And really, really looking forward now just to starting into it. So we'll just ask Stephen then.
All right, will we all stand up then? You know, we were singing that kids' chorus this morning, that our God is a great big God, which means that He can handle all the prayers in this room at one time. So this is not just about me praying. This is about all of us just taking this opportunity to pray for Andrew and lift him up before the Lord. So let's just all pray. Thank you, Father, for this moment where we can, just as a body of believers, as a group of your children, we can lift Andrew up before you and just thank you for his life and how you've led him to this point, Father. We thank you for his willingness to serve, Father. And God, I just really believe that you love willingness because you take that and you show yourself strong in those sorts of people, Father, who just give their lives to you, Father. And we pray for Andrew as he takes the role on in the church, that he, above all, would, as we were hearing this morning, would, Lord, that he would do everything as worship to you, that everything that he does and says would be done to bring you glory, that would be done to lift your name high in this community, Father. We thank you for the burden that you have given him and the vision and the passion for it, Father. And we just see and acknowledge that is from you, Father, that you give us these things and you expect us to use it, and you are more than willing and able to accomplish your will in our lives, Father. And we thank you so much for that. We think of him a couple of days a week doing the studies as well, Father, that you would use those times to continue to teach him and equip him to better serve you in this place, Father. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the opportunities we have in this community, Lord. And we pray for Andrew as he comes in and starts to work in outreach in other areas, Father, that you would just bless him, that you would continually to help him to keep his eyes on you, to draw strength from you, to draw encouragement from you, Father, and just that he would enjoy it, that he would grow closer to you in this time, Father, that this would be a special time in his life, Father. Thank you for it, and Lord, we just trust you for great things to be done in this church, in this community, Father, and we thank you. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name.
Many thanks, Andrew and Stephen. I can remember the day whenever Esther and I went to our interview with the Faith Mission. We had no idea what an interview meant, going to the Faith Mission. So we brought our own children and all the children that we were minding with us. And you can imagine the mayhem that was. But I can remember one thing that was spoken to us by one of the interviewers. And that was the words of Jim Elliot. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep. He gain what he cannot lose. And that was, I think it was Jim Elliot. Maybe I got that wrong. But it certainly was one of the things that stuck in my mind. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep. He gain what he cannot lose. You know, whenever you give your life to the Lord in service, God never shortchanges his people. Sure he doesn't. And those who are involved in the work of God, you know there are many hurts and challenges and many difficulties and obstacles overcome. But the rewards far outweigh any of those negative things that happen. And we know that for Andrew and for Stephen and Heather as they head back again to New Tribes and others for Timothy and Lindsay and others that are involved in God's work. We know that God rewards his people. We don't do it for reward. We do it out of pure appreciation for what he's done for us. But nevertheless, God rewards his people richly. You know, there's no, and I mean this when I say this, and I know it's probably a cliche, there's no greater blessing than kneeling beside a soul and leading them to Christ. I would say that there's no weaker moment that you feel, because you feel so helpless, and yet it's such a privilege. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than a king before whom you would fall and worship. May God bless his servants. Let's just pray for another moment of prayer as we pray for the offering. Father, we pray, thank you, Lord, for this challenge from Andrew, and we pray that his ministry will be richly blessed in this fellowship, that many people will feel the impact of God's love through him to their lives. Thank you, Lord, for the summer and the outreach that happened there, and Lord, the many that are still talking. And Father, we pray that there will be many, many other such times when we see God's hand at work in this place. And other churches, Father, right around our community. We will not be selfish, Father. There is so much great need, such need. Father, we believe that you're leading us away, which is a great challenge to us. Yet, O God, we thank you that whenever God is in the midst, Lord, you said, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. And for every pastor that's in this place, every Christian worker, think of Chris and Stacey there in Larne. We think of young Gareth Parker, Father, where he's involved. We pray, loving Father, that you will bless abundantly their ministries, and they'll see the good hand of God upon them, reaching out to those who are right around them who need Christ. And Father, we pray that there'll be as many as divinely possible, saved by God's sovereign grace in heaven, to throw their crowns at his feet and sing, "Worthy is the Lamb." God grant it, we pray, for Christ's sake. And Father, as we bring our offerings, as we worship you in our offerings, we pray you'll bless the gift and bless the giver, and remind us, Lord, of the greatest gift ever, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. We're going to remain seated as we sing the first part of 374 in the hymn book again. I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more, overwhelmed by guilt within. Mercy. You know, I don't want my rights. I always want mercy. I trust that's where you're at too. We'll remain seated as we sing together while your offering and tithes will be uplifted. Thanks, Lynn.
Mercy I did implore, then the Master called.
Now we're going to turn to God's Word for this evening, and we ask you to turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 6, Matthew's Gospel in chapter 6, and we're going to read from verse 5 down to the verse 13. Matthew chapter 6, reading from the verse 5 down to the verse 13. While you're looking that up, can I make also three other requests for prayer? There are two of our former ministers of the Congregational Union who need a specific prayer at this time, James Logan and Reverend Harry Ray. Their wives are both in needing of prayer at this time. And can we encourage you to pray very definitely? James's wife is quite ill, and I know that Mrs. Ray has had an operation. So please very much remember them in your prayers at this time. And of course, those who come to your mind and your heart at this time. My own sister is back in hospital again and has been in and out over these last few days. And we would very much value prayer for her as her condition continues to deteriorate. Now let's read together from God's Word from Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to read from the verse 5 down to the verse 13. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us not our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Amen, and may God bless that reading of his word to our hearts. For me, it's a pretty unusual message for an evening gospel service. But I want to speak to you today about our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father. Maybe he's not your Heavenly Father yet, but he could be. I know one thing, he wants to be. He longs to be. You know, there are many of our human relationships that are compared with relationships that we can have with our God. There's a relationship called a friend. It says in James, and the scriptures were filled with saith, Abraham believed God and was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. What it must be to have God as a friend. A friend. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We're never always fully, clearly sure of our friends, sure we're not. Sometimes they can let us down, stab us in the back, tell a secret that we told, and just betray a confidence. Yet our God never betrays a confidence. And so one of the relationships that often conferred between us and God is a friend. I'm sure you've got a good friend, a best friend. Someone that you can relate to, someone you can rely upon, someone that you can burden your heart with, someone that you can really trust. That's a good friend. That's a good friend. And it's more like our Heavenly Father than these boys that say that you're a friend, but they're two-faced and talk about you behind your back. Another relationship that is often compared is that of a husband. It says in Isaiah 54 and verse 5, For thy maker is thine husband. Isn't that wonderful? Thy maker is thine husband. Someone who's a support. Someone who romances you, tells you how much they love you. Men, are you listening? By the way, romance should never die in any marriage. It should never die. It should never die. What it is that God would say, the Word of God would say he's our husband. Of course, the church is the bride of Christ, and we know where that's going, don't we? What a relationship. Another relationship is that of family. That's the way I've grouped it, family. Here's what it says, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same shall be my brother and my sister and my mother." I was brought up in a large family. We all met together in my sister's house last night. There were over 30 of us there. What a blessed time. A blessed time. We're quite a close family. I mean, we'll say whatever we like to each other, but don't you say anything about us. Or any of our brothers and sisters. That God would... And by the way, isn't God at the very, very center, at the very behind families? Isn't that way God, the way that God has designed and desired that society would be built up with a healthy, holy, happy family? Isn't that the way that God has designed this world to exist? And some of you know what it is to have a good friend. You trust them with your life. And some of you know what it is to have a good husband or a good wife. We'll not be biased here. Someone that has never failed you ever. And some of you know what it is to have a really good family. Maybe not everything was perfect in it. You know, oftentimes, because many of these relationships that I've mentioned aren't always the best, it distorts our view of our relationship with our God. Many of you have had friends that have let you down. Many of you have been deserted or cheated on by a husband or a wife. Maybe. I'm not saying many. I shouldn't say many. Maybe some of you have. Maybe not, and I trust that's the case. But we certainly know that this world is plagued with marriage, destruction and disaster, don't we? And the result is that our view of that relationship that God desires that we have as a friend or as a husband or as a family is distorted. The relationship that I want to address is that of father. Father. If you're a good father, keep going. I believe with all of my heart that the father in the house is supposed to be the representative of God in his home. He's just. He's fair. He shows mercy. He's strong. He's gentle. He's truthful. He's honest. And the list goes on and on and on. But sadly, and I'm sure you've experienced a good father. I trust you have. I trust that you are a good father, or that you intend to be a good father. But if there's one relationship that has been so distorted as this of father throughout our world, harshness, selfishness, self-centeredness. And because of that, it has been very difficult for people to really appreciate our Heavenly Father. Now, I'm not going to tar everybody with the same brush here. I trust that you know exactly what I'm talking about by a loving, gracious Father, earthly Father. But I sense and feel, perhaps in my spirit, that there may be those who were brought up harshly, unmercifully. And their word wasn't always their bond, and they weren't always there for you. And therefore it's difficult for you to fully appreciate a Heavenly Father's love. And I want to try to bring out to you what it's meant by our Heavenly Father. When Jesus was teaching on how to pray, you notice how many times he used the word Father in those few words. Well, let me name you a number of things about our Heavenly Father that he wants to convey to your heart here this evening so that you might be encouraged in your walk with God or encouraged to begin to walk with God. He's faithful. Well, isn't he? You know, in this world where there's so many unfulfilled promises, you know, oftentimes we make promises, don't we? And we have neither the ability or the wherewith to fulfill them. I mean, women, have you ever said to the youngster before misbehaving, if you don't behave yourself, I'll kill you? I mean, I trust that you haven't fulfilled that promise. But on the other side, I jest with you. But you know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's absolutely outside our ability to fulfill some of the promises we make. That's why we shouldn't make foolish promises. But let me tell you about our Heavenly Father. Whilst we try to fulfill out of our poverty, God always fulfills out of his generosity and his richness. It says in Psalm 36 and verse 5, Thy mercy, O God, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. There are no limits to the faithfulness of our God. And perhaps some of you are wondering, maybe you're on the very verge of trusting this Heavenly Father. Maybe there are those issues that are real challenging. You wonder, how are you going to get through this situation that you're facing at this time? And I'm not going to try and name or try to catalogue or categorise those issues. But perhaps maybe it's Andrew and this challenge in coming into the staff of the church, or Timothy and Lindsay as they face the next year as they go to Mindy under Stephen's. Stephen's one of the staff, you know, in New Tribes, so you just be good and hard on them, Stephen, all right? You have my permission, not. But as you face the challenge, perhaps those of you who are going to university, the challenge. Maybe you're looking for a job, you've got those results that you're looking for, and I believe that congratulations should go over to many who've done so well in their exams. Your Heavenly Father will never fail you. He'll never let you down. He'll never be beaten by the difficulty of the situation that you face. Haven't we got ample evidence in God's word to tell us that our Father never fails to fulfill his promises? He said he'd bring them out of Egypt. He said he'd bring them through the Red Sea. He said he'd bring them through the wilderness. And he said he would bring them into Canaan land. And what he says on the packaging, he did it. And sometimes we find it difficult to trust our Heavenly Father because we've been in situations in the past where we haven't known. And by the way, there's none of us perfect men, so we will let our families down. And yet we convey to those, if we have been harsh and unhearing and not listening, that we've conveyed to them that there's no one you can trust in this world. You can trust your Heavenly Father. Oh, I can remember the day. Way back, you'll hear me mention this time and time again, and I'll continue to say, I remember the day, it was the day subsequent to the day I got saved, whenever God said to me, you can trust me. And I began to know what it was like to have a perfect Heavenly Father. Every promise he's ever made, he kept. And in case you think the challenge that you're facing is difficult, well, what about Noah? Noah, I want you to build an ark in the middle of a desert. And I'll bring the water to the ark. What about a stuttering, stammering Moses? Moses, I want you to lead the apple of my eye out of Egypt. I want you to take on the superpower of this world with a staff. And I'll never leave you. And when God's on your side, you're in the majority and on victory ground. I heard a lovely statement there recently. And I'm trying to remember it as I'm standing on my feet, and I trust you'll be able to somehow comprehend it. I would rather be beaten in a battle that I know I'm going to win than win in a battle that I know I'm going to lose. That ultimately will lose. I'd rather be on God's side and face challenges and heartaches and difficulties and be hurt, because I know ultimately God will always win through, won't he? He kept his promise to Abraham and Sarah, and age didn't get in the way. Our Heavenly Father is faithful. You know, some of you perhaps have memories, and they're not so good. Let me tell you about God. Before and when you were being formed, in the very womb, he was there. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Dear soul, he was there with you in your mother's womb. He was there when you took your first breath. He was there when you took your first step. He was there when you took your first fall. He was there when you won your first victory. He was there when your heart first broke. He was there when you faced your first challenge, when you passed your first exam. You know what? He wants to be with you there when you take your last breath. He wants to be there with you when you take that final breath here on earth. And he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And don't think you've gotten this far without God. Do you not realize that you've got an enemy who's acutely opposed to your life? And if he could have wiped you out into eternity long ago, he would have done it. And I have often said, eternity will reveal how many times God intervened on your behalf to keep you safe. Doesn't it say in Hebrews chapter 1 that he sent his angels, ministering spirits, to protect those who shall be heirs of salvation? We've got a wonderfully faithful Heavenly Father, haven't we? You know, you can face sickness. You can face disease. You can face a crowd in Abbot's Cross. You can face any challenge. Because our Heavenly Father is a faithful Heavenly Father. He's faithful. And you can trust him. You know, you can trust him. He'll restore you. He'll revive you. He'll renew you. And he'll give you the very best that heaven has. And that heaven can afford. Because he wants you to be blessed. Doesn't that do you good, doesn't it? The second thing that I want to speak to you about is our Heavenly Father. Is he is generous. Now I love it where Jesus says in John chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. You know, our God's a giving God, isn't he? I mean, he giveth and he giveth and he giveth again. And he gives more than you ever thought. Here's what the psalmist said in his experience. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. And that should give a hallelujah in your heart. You should be doing somersaults within your soul. God doesn't give you according to your greeds. He gives you according to your needs. And what God gives, he gives grace and glory and mercy. And he, you know, the psalmist said in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou anointest my head with oil and my cup. It's not half full. It's not even three quarters full. It runneth over with grace and mercy, sustaining me every step of the way, because our God is a giving God. And you know one of the greatest gifts that he ever gave? He gives us the gift of his Son, but he also gives us the gift of his Holy Spirit. How generous is that? As I said earlier, we give out of our poverty. He gives out of his generosity. You know, I've often prayed whenever I was in the faith mission, it doesn't drain the resources of God to come and fill this house with his glory and his grace. And if he came and he filled this world with his glory and his grace, it'd still be enough for all the worlds that was ever made. Our Father's generous. You may have been brought up in a mealy-mouthed background where your father was so selfish that he cared not whether you lived or died. Our Father is not like that. Our Father is not like that. He's generous. The children of God never do have to go without his mercy. And the children of God never have to go without his grace. Maybe you were brought up in the school of you get nothing for nothing. Well, God gives us even though we don't deserve, doesn't he? Let me tell you what he did do. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, you ladies, you like to go shopping for an outfit. I'm sure you do. Most ladies do. I don't think that's a sexist statement, is it? I suppose the men do as well. Some of you are looking pristine this evening. And you know, you go out looking for the nicest thing you can get your hands on. And you'll pay top dollar for it. I mean, you'll even pay £150 for an outfit now. Being sarcastic, of course. God gave top dollar for you and me while we were yet sinners. You know, if we paid top dollar, we want to get what we paid for, don't we? Look what God got in return for what he gave for us. Miserable wretches, children of the dust. And yet I would suggest to you that God would do it 1,000 times over. He would never even think twice. He would do it again. Because his love and his generosity goes beyond our imaginations. So he's faithful. He's generous. Our God is affectionate. Is it not true that sometimes there's a strained relationship with our parents, and in that strained relationship we feel distant? Well, when it comes to our relationship with God, he never takes a wrong step. God's love is tender, and it's eternal. And he never stops loving you. And if you ever question that, you read again the prodigal son story in Luke chapter 15, where I never read of one condemnation or condemnatory word that comes from the Father, even though the Son had squandered all, had gone his own way, had left aside his family and his father, and had probably brought the name of the family into the gutters. And there's not one condemnatory statement that comes from the Father. In fact, he's looking afar off, waiting for the Son to return. And he clothes him with majesty and grace and gives him a ring on his finger and a robe around his back and shoes on his feet, and he kills the fatted lamb because he never stopped loving his Son. Never. When did the Son become not a son? Never in the eyes of the Father. Oh, our Father's tender. Oh, he loves us. You know, one of our sons, I'm not going to mention his name, but one of our sons was accident prone. Whenever we were in Bible college, he had a, well, when I say we were in the faith mission, he had, I think, three fractured skulls, is that right? Three fractured skulls. Whenever he was only 3 years of age, he got the top of one of those buttons that you can't get the top of. You know, the click, click, unless you press down real hard. You know those ones? And we had to rush him up to hospital in the ambulance, drunk, because he drank all the Calpol. Is that right? Well, I can't remember what it was. And you know, whatever, I don't know what it was, but whatever it was, he had to be rushed then into hospital because they wanted in case that his liver would be damaged. And you know what happens? Whenever they get hurt, when they burn, you stay away from that fire. If you go too near that fire, you'll burn yourself. You know the way, you know you do. You get in the middle of the road, you get killed. And the next thing, they ignore the advice and they get hurt, or they take the medicine and they get sick, or they eat something that they shouldn't, and you know rightly what it's like. And then they start crying, and they cry, and they cry, and they cry, and then you start crying because you feel you've let them down. And long after they stop crying, you still feel guilty. You still feel hurt about the way they got hurt, but you feel you let them down. Well, listen, our Father is affectionately affected by us. Whenever we step out of line, we take a wrong decision, a wrong choice, and we hurt ourselves because of the wrong choices we take. Our Heavenly Father grieves over us. You think of that story, the prodigal son. He watched to see the son coming over the hill. And he never was caught out. As soon as the father or the son returned, the father saw him coming. Always on the watch. Listen, backslider. He's on the watch for you to come back home again. And he wants to clothe you. He wants to pour out his grace and mercy on you. He wants to enrich your heart. He wants to reestablish you in the kingdom of God. He wants to give you so much more than you could ever imagine. And my dear friends, sometimes we find it difficult to accept that God would forgive even the worst of blasphemers. But that's our God, and that's why he's so much unlike any relationship that you could ever imagine here on earth. He's affectionate. Whilst we might feel miserably, still he goes on loving us. Here's what the psalmist said. Thou tellest, in Psalm 56, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle, are they not in thy book? Oh, he remembers that time that you were humiliated, sir. He remembers that time when you felt you were failed. Youngster, he knows whenever you didn't do as well in your exams as what you thought you should. He knows and is every bit as affected as any earthly father, and more so by every wrong decision and choice you've ever taken. Have we not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin? Haven't we a wonderful Father tonight? Here's another thing with the Heavenly Father. He's attentive. He's attentive. He is with us all the time. He's not a deserter. He says, I will never leave you. I'm sure we've all been with our parents or with our children, and we thought it should stay like that forever, but, you know, death and time separates. Well, death and time will never separate you from your Heavenly Father. His eye is on the sparrow, and He watches over me. You know, the Bible says He's thinking of you all the time. You know, whenever you're not well, or we've got a little card. There's one individual, I think they did it last year as well. As soon as we came home from holidays, there's a little card there. Pastor, great to have you back. Well, I'm not sure if it was so great or not, but Pastor's great to have you back. Just sitting in the post box for whenever we come home on Monday. And I began to think of the thought that went into that. That person knew exactly whenever Esther and I were due back from holidays. And they posted that little card to coincide with our first day back home again. And I thought, isn't that wonderful? Someone was thinking that way. You know, whenever you get a little card, and all it says is, just thinking of you. Isn't it nice to get those kind of cards? No special reason, not a birthday, not an anniversary, just thinking of you. It's nice to... I suppose we get 200 cards now next Tuesday. It's nice. You know, for missionaries in the far-flung corners of the world, you know, there's nothing nicer than just thinking of you. Just thinking of you. Boy, it can make your greyest and blackest day feel so much better, doesn't it? Drop them an email. But think about our Heavenly Father, who thinks about us every second of every hour of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year. Here's what Jeremiah said in 29. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You can Google this for yourself. But the world's strongest computer, most powerful computer, is a massive liquid-controlled supercomputer at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, wherever that might be. It has received the bragging rights to be the most powerful computer ever made. And they hope to upgrade it from, 16.3 quadrillion? It can make 16.3 quadrillion calculations. Let me see. Every hour. And they're going to upgrade it now to 20 quadrillion. Do you know what a quadrillion is? There's 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18 noughts after 20. They say that if you were to give all the people on the earth a calculator, and they work non-stop on that calculator for an entire year, they could do the same number of calculations in 320 years as this computer can do in an hour. If man can do that, how much more can God do? God is thinking of ways to convey His love to us. God is thinking of ways to express His love for us. God is thinking of how best to bless our lives every moment, though we might not be conscious of it. The problem's with us, not with God. Our Father's attentive. Now, right now, where you're sitting, God wants to bless your soul. He wants to explode into your heart with light and life. Let me finish. Our Father is accepting. He's accepting. See, we live in a performance rewarding world. If you come up to scratch, if you come up to target, if you reach your goal, if you fully achieve the tally, then you'll be rewarded with whatever praise or price was put on it. That's not how our God works. He doesn't save you as a reward. He doesn't bless you as a reward. He blesses you because he wants you to be in blessing. Oh, I say, our Heavenly Father can be trusted today. This performance-related kind of Christianity that's purported nowadays is a bondage kind of Christianity, isn't it? Where if I reach the goal, then maybe God will bless me. God wants to bless you. God wants to so bless you where you are. He wants to bring you from where you are to bring you to deeper heights and higher heights and deeper depths of himself. Because that's God. I was thinking of the whole thing of obedience. Obedience. You know, the opposite of disobedience is not obedience. Or the opposite of obedience is not disobedience. The opposite of disobedience is faithlessness. You don't believe. Because if you believed that every word that God said, you'd believe and obey every word God says. So unbelief is the opposite of disobedience. If I really believe that my Heavenly Father wants to bless me, is affectionate towards me, would you not then gladly open up your heart and allow him full sway to possess everything there is of you? Could you not, without doubt or qualm or fear, could you not then just lay your life on the altar for him and say, here I am, with all my failures, with all my fears, Lord, I just commit and commend myself into your hands. Have me, take me, hold me, use me, fill me, do whatever it is you want to do with me, because I trust my Heavenly Father. Could you not bring your family, your children, your loved ones and say, Heavenly Father, here are the things that are weighing me down. When ye pray, say, Our Father. I trust you've got a different view of your Heavenly Father this evening. And it'll richly bless your soul. And as a result, cause you to live in a different manner and means that you've been living up until now. Let's bow in prayer. Let's pray. Now, Father, we thank you that we can approach you and address you as our Heavenly Father. We love it, Lord. We love it because it conveys so much comfort and confidence to our hearts and minds. And we pray, Lord, as in the silence of this service, at the end of it we pray that as you challenge us just to place all our care upon him, for he careth for us, we'll do it unreservedly and we'll do it gladly. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing number 180. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch. I love that phrase. He makes a wretch his treasure. What a treasure. Think that your life could be the rags and the relics of sin and shame, and God would make you into a treasure just now where you are. How wonderful is our God. How wonderful. We'll stand and sing the four verses, please. Thank you. Perhaps you've the Lord. Perhaps the devil has come and criticized you, condemned you, and feeling that God couldn't want you or ever use you again. I think of Rahab in Jericho. I think of Bathsheba. Her son Solomon became the next king after David. Mind you, if we had a lineage of some of the ones that were in the line of Jesus, some of us would have a red face, perhaps. You know, the wonderful thing about God is He has a wonderful way of restoring that relationship. If you feel God, you feel that God can't use you, you've let Him down, whether it's morally, whatever way, you know what? God can deal with that right now where you are, because He's a loving Father. Loving Father. He doesn't cast you aside. He comes and restores you. And like the prodigal son, He gives you a robe, a ring on your finger, and shoes on your feet, and He establishes you again, kills the fatted calf, and fills you with the fullness of the family. He'll do it for you just now where you're about. Just say, Lord, come and do that work in my heart. Cause me to rise up again in royalty to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, You've been speaking to our hearts, and we thank You for that and pray that You'll part us in Your fear and in Your blessing. We pray for those who need a specific touch in their lives. We ask just now they'll taste and see that the Lord, He is good. We thank You, Lord, for the fellowship that we will have over in the hall. We pray, Lord, that You'll bless in our fellowship and in the ministry there. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the wonderful sweet presence of the Holy Spirit be our portion this day and in the days that lie ahead. For we ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen. Amen.